to the bottom of them country songs. Turning this house to a honky-tonk. Let's turn it up, till we take that black label bus too far. Let's say them things, to stay in the dark. Ain't nothing as sweet, ain't nothing as strong as you and me and whiskey all night long.
Always here to inform you, Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron.
With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. High school football around the area, around the state last night. People were checking the weather forecast. Some game times were changed due to the weather. Games did get in last night, even though the rains did come. And yes, we did have lightning here on Tigers. We're on the road to Aberdeen. Golden Eagle homecoming started at the normal time at 7 o'clock. But then there was a lightning delay right after halftime. Aberdeen opened up a 10-0 lead by the half. All of halftime got in. The two teams were lined up ready to kick off for the second half when there was a crack of lightning, a little thunder. That caused a 30-minute delay. After the 30 minutes, the teams came out and were able to complete the game. And it was Aberdeen that completely dominated, especially in the second half. They scored three times in the second half to put the game away. Aberdeen 30 and Huron 6. Huron's lone score came on a one-yard run late in the game by Colton McNeil with the loss. Huron drops to 2-3 on the season. Statistically, it was a good night for Cashin Caudill running the ball, 17 carries for 116 yards. Game we had on the air here on KOKK did get moved up. Instead of a 7 o'clock kickoff, it was a 4 o'clock kickoff. Woolsey-Wessington homecoming hosting Coleman Egan. Warbirds got on the board right away. They scored on their first offensive snap, a 59-yard touchdown pass. Caleb Richmond to Moshe Richmond. And they never looked back in a 41-14 win. Big day for Caleb Richmond. Five touchdowns passing. He was 18 of 19 for 222 yards. The five touchdown passes, two to brother Moshe, 59 and 39 yards. He had 10 catches for 129 yards. Colin Hughes caught two, 27 and 14 yards. And Peyton Rainford caught a touchdown for 15 yards. Caleb Richmond added a 33-yard rushing touchdown as Woolsey-Wessington cruises to the win over Coleman Egan. Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central pushed their game up, I believe, an hour. It was tight at halftime before the Blackhawks pulled away in the second half, defeated Tripp, Delmont Armor, Andy Central, Dakota Christian, 35-12. Holden Havlick threw for three touchdowns, ran for two more in the Blackhawk win. Ryder McCulloch caught two of the touchdown passes, 20 and 37 yards. Blake Larson caught a 35-yard TD. Hitchcock Tulare shut out Sunshine Bible 52-0 in afternoon game, but that was scheduled as Sunshine Bible doesn't have lights on their field. Eric Salmon had 94 yards rushing and two touchdowns. Peyton Chasing Hawk had a 69-yard touchdown run, also caught a 9-yard TD pass from Jordan Noel. Noel had three touchdown passes, including one each to Patrick Maynard and Jackson Maynard. Other scores around the area, Webster rolled over Redfield 47-6. Long road trip for Miller Highmore Herald, and they fell to Hill City in the middle of the Black Hills. Hill City 44, Miller Highmore Herald 12. Elkton Lake Benton shut out Iroquois Lake Preston 55-0. Scores from 11AA, Brookings notched their first win of the season. They shut out Douglas 37-0. Huron goes to Douglas next week. Shootout between number 2 and number 3 in 11AA. Yankton pretty much controlled the tee area, made some noise late, but Yankton wins 37-26. Yankton led 37-6 at one point. Pier defeated Watertown 49-20. Triple-A Sioux Falls Jefferson defeated Double-A Mitchell 63-0. Spearfish 11AA defeated 11A Belle Fouche 40-7. Sturgis 11AA defeated 11A St. Thomas More 23-13. AAA, Lincoln defeated O'Gorman 58-35. Don't see a score like that in AAA very often. Washington defeated Rapid City Central 37-20. Harrisburg 48, Roosevelt 13. That's the rundown of high school football from last night. Soccer, here on Tigers, we're at Watertown in the girls' matchup. Watertown wins 7-0. The boys went to a 3-3 draw with the Arrows. For Huron, Ong Miet had a goal and assist. Beyonce and Aller Sar also had goals for Huron. And that is the rundown of our scores from last night. A look at the schedule for today. Plenty of volleyball today. And, of course, usually on a Saturday, that means tournaments. Huron Tigers are at a tournament at the Pentagon today. Huron will get five matches in. They only know two opponents going in, but they're very good opponents. Defending Class A champion Sioux Falls Christian, defending Class B champion Warner will be the opponents for Huron, and then three more matches depending on how results go from other pools. Hitchcock Tuler is also at the Pentagon today. The matches they'll play that they know, Hanson, Canastota, and Webster, and they'll get a couple others as well. Also in volleyball, Miller, Highmore Herald, Woolsey Wessington, Sunshine Bible are at the Central South Dakota Conference Tournament in Fulton. Wessington Springs is hosting a varsity tournament today. And Freeman Academy Marion is at James Valley Christian today. Boys soccer, JVC, is at Dakota Valley. That's the rundown of our schedule. Minnesota Twins, division champions. With the recap, here's Chris Atterbury.
It was a large and expectant crowd that wanted a party that filed into Target Field on Friday night. The Twins' magic number was 1 to clinch the American League Central crown. Twins got on the board early. Michael A. Taylor knocking in Max Kepler in the second. Two more runs in a fourth inning that included four walks issued by Angels pitchers. But then things turned. The Angels tagged Lopez for three runs in the fifth to tie the game. No problem, because it was Alex Kirilloff's 10th home run of the year to make it a 4-3 Twins lead in the sixth. And then it was an 8-3 lead after a four-run explosion in the seventh. But the Angels get two in the eighth, a home run from Logan Ohapi off Caleb Thielbar. And it was an interesting final inning, to say the least, as Joan Duran struggled. He continually went to full counts. In fact, he threw 34 pitches. But the last one was the only one that mattered. Brett Phillips at second base. Jack Netto at first base. The hitter, Drury. Two outs. The 2-2 on the way. Swung on. Tapper back up the middle. Julian has it. Bobbles briefly. Throws to first, and he got his man. And the Twins are the champions of the American League Central. The mitts are thrown in the air. The players bouncing in a huddle around the pitcher's mound as the Minnesota Twins victorious. The trio of Lewis, Buxton, and Correa gingerly making their way out to the celebration as the Twins, for the third time in 5 years, will fly an American League Central flag at Target Field.
Twins claim the game 8-6. They claim the American League Central title. They will fly a flag here in downtown Minneapolis, and they are playoff bound right here on your home for Twins baseball.
They still have games to play, though. Regular season runs through a week from tomorrow. Twins and Angels game 2 of the series. Afternoon game today, 12:30 pregame, 1:10 first pitch here on KOKK. And no surprise, there is rain in the forecast in the Twin Cities. We'll see how things work out there. Coming up on Dakota Sports Saturday this morning, we'll talk here on Tiger Volleyball with Tyann Ulmer. Also here on Tiger Boys Golf with head coach Kyle Johnson. Some details on last night's Tiger football game with head coach Drew Strand. And we'll get a few more comments on that division title for the Minnesota Twins. That's on your Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at about 10 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. First up here on Dakota Sports Saturday, Tyann Ulmer, head volleyball coach for the Huron Tigers. Tigers split their two matches this past week, traveling to Aberdeen and losing in three. And then coming back on Thursday, a thrilling come-from-behind win, 5 sets over the Brookings Bobcats, snapped a four-game losing streak, and the Tigers now sit at 7-4 on the season. A few quick notes there. First off, on Aberdeen on Tuesday, Coach Ulmer talked about that after the match and just said he have to be ready to go. Huron had defeated Aberdeen in 5 sets at home 2.5 weeks before, but Aberdeen pretty much controlled everything beginning to end on Tuesday.
Yep, it's all about confidence. So if we don't have the confidence, they gain it, and then we all just break down.
I know you'd said, too, that it seems like that point 12 is really kind of where we start to struggle. And again, you know, I don't know if the girls know that or not, or just a mental block, but, you know, until you get to 25, you got to keep playing.
Yep, and we had a mental day practice and lots of running if you make a mistake, and how are we going to get over that mistake error on point 12, and how are we going to keep that confidence and work harder when point 12 comes. So I think practice was a good moment for that, and hopefully they can apply that practice to the court.
Thursday night, though, was a nice bounce back for the Huron Tigers, traveling over to Brookings. They came from behind, pulled out a 5-set win, and first two sets just kind of looked like same old, same old. Tigers just had struggle get anything going as Brookings controlled both of those. Huron was able to eke out a third set win, and probably the key, though, was the fourth set. Huron was down four, but then went on an 8-1 run to win the fourth set and forced the fifth, overcame a couple of tough calls in the fifth set. And, Coach, hopefully the girls learned something from that, because certainly showed a lot of resiliency in that comeback on Thursday.
Yep, and that just comes with practice, right? We fly around. If we don't, then we have to run, and that's just what it comes down to. It's them having to work as hard as they can possible in practice and apply it to the court, and that's what they did set 3, 4, and 5.
You know, and like I said, you know, a call goes against you, you just got to put it out of your head for a while. It looked like we had a little trouble putting it out of our head. Bottom line is, once we got things straightened out there again, it just seemed like a couple of their hitters kind of disappeared there in the fifth set outside of even. And, you know, we were able to take advantage. It almost looked like, you know, they played 5 sets on Tuesday. So I think that had a difference here.
Yep, and mental toughness comes down to it. So when they make a bad call, or we think it's a bad call, we've just got to get out of that area of, oh, nope, now we can't even make that point. And they did that. I think we got it out of our heads right away, and we cleared it out, and we just went step one by one by one to get a point.
You know, and individually, boy, there's just so many here. When you came up, said we could probably pick 3 or 4 players of the game. But, you know, at Deja Claggett, that might have been her best night of the season. I'm assuming a career high with, I had her for 16 kills. Allie Davis started to make some big plays there down the stretch. You know, just everybody contributed. Kenzie Simmonsma had the big block there to end the match. In fact, I don't think I even put that down on my stat sheet. And Sam McMordeth, you know, when we can spread it around like that, get different girls involved, of course, when you have a veteran setter, that helps too.
Yep, and we just got to just keep spreading around and trust every hitter. And I know, like, Deja's our go-to right now. She's the senior, and she will put it down when we need her to, but we've just got to start spreading and make that other side scramble.
You know, Hilton Hines, you thought that was her best game of the season. You know, you just kind of stuck her in libero there. She's been a setter. She's done a little bit of everything, but again, you kind of forget she's only a sophomore, and you kind of felt as the match went on, you could see the light bulb starting to go on for Hilton.
Yep, she's starting to reading. That's what we've been working on in practice. Where's that ball going? Read it on the other side, and now she's starting to fly around with it. So she's going to make good plays for us to get that ball up to the setter.
You know, and again, you know, with Hampton, you know, we just ask her to do so much out there, and, you know, but, you know, she's in control, and, you know, you'd like to have your setter just set right by the net, but, you know, that's just not going to happen. But, you know, she just makes the good decisions. She knows when she can do the attack, and she knows who's got the hot hand, and, you know, the ball's getting distributed correctly.
Yep, and if the ball's not at the net, she knows to just get the ball high, get it to a hitter that's going to just hit it. That's all we need to do is put it high. She just needs to keep putting that ball into play so we can just hit it.
And then Alexis Ziegeldorf got her first extensive varsity time, made a couple of plays, which is all you asked her to do. Madison Hirschman had a great night. You know, she comes in for one rotation strictly to serve. I had her for three aces. She combined, I think, with Hilton for a great dig there at one point in the third or fourth set. You know, that's tough for a senior. You know, she knows that is her role, that she's going to get on for that one rotation, but yet she's taking advantage of the opportunity.
She knows her role, and she comes to practice every day, doesn't complain. She'll do what she's told, and that just applies it to the court, and that's why she's in that role. She knows how to be that player, and when we need it, she'll serve it over and get an ace.
And then one other thing I'll say about Madison, she delivered me my cookie dough last night and had a nice thank you note with it too. I was very impressed with that. And overall, you know, just a great win to rally back like that, and probably missing a few names. Kenzie Simmonsma had that game winner, but bottom line is the girls could have just folded the tent there after the second set, but they said, no, we're going to keep on playing. And, you know, it's hard to come back when you're down 0-2, but it can still be done.
It just comes down to fighting and competing, and that's what they did. I think we finally got our spark back, and hopefully we can continue that spark.
So now let's look ahead. You got one day off and then another road trip to Sioux Falls. We won't have a broadcast, by the way, on Saturday from the Pentagon Tournament. You'll get five matches in. You only know two opponents, but they're two defending champions, Class B Warner, Class A Sioux Falls Christian. Teams that really, for as long as they've been good, as long as we've had our success, we really haven't crossed paths much. I don't know if we've ever played Warner, really. I think we played Sioux Falls Christian once in our tournament, but boy, right off the bat, got to be ready to go on Saturday.
We got to be ready, and we just got to keep competing. We're going to go to practice, work on what we needed to practice. Hopefully that energy can carry over to the weekend.
And it's a total of five matches, but you only know those two, and then you start cross-bracketing, and I think when we were talking before the match started, you said it's hard to even predict who those last three are going to be.
It will be, but we know the first two. We've watched film on the first two, and now it's just getting those first two into our system, and then we're going to go in blind, and I think that's the best way we compete.
And finally, a much-needed win. Hopefully the girls prove something to themselves as we move on. Pentagon, a lot of competition there Saturday. Washington looms on Tuesday. Schedule does not get easier.
Nope, but we're going to be okay, and we just got to keep getting better every day.
Tyann Elmer, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. Tigers break a four-game losing streak with a come-from-behind five-set win Thursday night in Brookings. They're now 7-4. Five matches on tap today at the Pentagon. The only two known opponents at this point, defending Class B champion Warner, defending Class A champion Sioux Falls Christian, then three more after that. Again, no broadcast today. Kind of tough to coordinate to get those one-day tournaments in. So, again, no broadcast of Tiger Volleyball today. We will be back on the air this coming Tuesday when the Tigers go to Sioux Falls, Washington. We're going to take a look at Huron Tiger Boys Golf next on Dakota Sports KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday. Talk here on Tiger Boys Golf with head coach Kyle Johnson. The Tigers preparing for ESD,
The Bee at Yankton at Fox Run on a Monday. We'll get to that coming up. First off, though, Kyle, let's just go down the numbers here. Sounds like while they are youthful, you do have quite a few boys out for golf this year.
So our numbers from these last couple of years have actually increased almost every single year. I think last year we were pushing right around 20 kids, which Mr. Rizal and I thought we could bump it up, and now I think we got about 10 more kids out this year. A lot of kids that are excited about golf, I think. I know a couple of them switched over from football. I don't think Mr. Strand is too happy about that, but these guys come out to the practices, and they're ready to compete, and they want to really push to get some of those varsity times.
You know, in the varsity spots, you have been fielding a full varsity squad for most of the tournaments this year. Aiden Zaveski easily leads you in pretty much every category.
Yeah, Aiden's been pretty consistent all year long. He's got about an 85 average on the year, so he'll be able to qualify for state. And then after that, we got a lot of the guys that kind of average right around 105 to 115, but they come into every tournament looking to improve and get better.
Yeah, we mentioned Aiden. Just kind of go down those kids. You've had 5-6 guys that have been consistently on the varsity squad at most tournaments.
Yeah, so some of the guys that I've taken to every tournament have been like Riley Jankard, Jack Bales, and Colton Ogle. They've been my four very consistent guys. Just great guys to have out on the course. And then that five and six kind of been like a revolving door. Had like an eighth grader, Jace Bales, come out a few times when he's around. Another eighth grader, Oakley Schnabel. Emmerich Dedine, Matthew Olson, until he got hurt this year. And I've had a couple other, one more senior, Grady Bott and Ben Kleinsaucer have been able to get out and play a few tournaments as well.
And, you know, the results, you know, the kids, you're just looking for improvement right now. As I said, Aiden leads you the way. I believe I remember he had one score that he did get about 78, 79. And other than that, some kids, they have hit the low to mid-90s a couple of times. And right now we're just looking for improvement.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of practice out in the summer and doing a lot of stuff on your own. With the boys' golf season, we got to come in, especially being able to play all summer long opposite the girls where they have to come in through the winter and learn the sport almost over again. The boys, we got to hit the ground running. We get 1 week of practice, and then it's go time. So that learning curve needs to happen almost immediately.
And I think what you're looking for, and you think a few of those younger kids are doing it, you're looking for those golf rats, Landon Roberts, Nolan Weigel, two guys that come to mind. You know, those guys just were out the course all the time, as long as the weather cooperated.
Yeah, those two guys were awesome to see on the course. Aiden does the same thing. I mean, you come out any day of the week, and you will find him either hitting range balls or playing a couple holes. It's kind of been a very good role model for these young guys to know, if I want to get to the next step, this is how often I need to be here.
Can talk with Kyle Johnson, head boys golf coach for the Huron Tigers. Tigers have ESD Monday at Fox Run in Yankton. Now, coach, first off, ESD was originally scheduled for today, Saturday, and then I saw all of a sudden it was on Monday. I assumed it was a weather-related thing with the forecast on Saturday, but really not. It was a little more of the use of the golf course. Fox Run, very popular, and sounds like Yankton didn't want to tie up a Saturday when they still had the golf season going.
Yeah, so Yankton's part of that Great Life deal that they got going down by Sioux Falls area. They get 200 to 300 rounds per day, especially on the weekends. So I think knowing that, they didn't want to tie it up with a high school golf tournament. So they moved us to Monday, which I think is going to be all right for us because we've got a couple guys that are in band, and they're also in Marshall that day, and that would turn into a very long day for them.
And not only that, just by happenstance, the forecast not conducive for golf on Saturday.
No, it's going to be looking at the difference between Saturday and Monday. We are very happy to be playing out here up there on Monday.
Let's talk ESD. First off, tell us some. What do you know about Fox Run, difficulty, that sort of thing?
Pretty straightforward course. There's not too many trees. A lot of the holes, if there's a dog leg, it's just a slight one. It's just a few holes that have a few hazards here and there, and quite a bit of out-of-bounds play that kind of gets some players in trouble. But if you hit the ball straight and you're being consistent, you're going to score pretty well there.
And as far as the tournament itself goes, I assume Watertown comes in as the favorite?
Oh, for sure. They've won almost every tournament, I think, this year. Between Watertown and Harrisburg and Tier, they're kind of the three leading dogs in the ESC. And then with Watertown, they've got that Jake Olson, where I think he's won all but one or two tournaments this year. And the one tournament he lost, it was on the playoff hole.
And how old is Jake Olson? Because it seems like he's been playing there forever.
He's finally a senior this year. I think he's won back-to-back state tournament titles individually. So it's going to be good for us to see him go, but I'm sure Watertown's going to miss him. I know he's going down to Mississippi State to play college golf.
And talk about your hopes for the Huron Tigers. Obviously, I think the big thing would be if Aiden Zaveski can kind of get in on that all-conference lineup.
If he was able to get all-conference, that'd be a great day for him. I think with Fox Run and ESD, he's going to have to shoot probably a lower 70s just to crack into that top 15, or I believe is what all ESD is. But he's very capable of doing it. He just needs to stay focused. Keep his mind on the game of golf, but not overthink it, which can happen sometimes.
And overall, it sounds like your numbers are starting to get back up. It's just a matter of kids getting out on the course. I know girls are struggling with numbers. It seemed like the boys were, but now hopefully we're starting to bounce back a bit, at least with the boys.
I think so. Off the course, we've been trying a lot of different things just to get the kids involved. We've got junior golf camp out here. Last year, Ben and I tried to start like a little junior adult league just to get the kids out here with their parents, have a little fun. I think that for golf, you need to start when you're young just because it kind of, that's when the addiction starts. When you're able to do it at a younger age, you want to do it more. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't start when you're older, but when you're younger, it kind of fuels it.
Kyle Johnson, head coach here on Tiger Boys Golf. Your schedule might say that ESD is today down in Yankton, but it's actually Monday at Fox Run here on Tigers and the rest of the ESD to compete for the conference on Monday. We'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We are back on Dakota Sports Saturday. Drew Strand, head football coach for the Huron Tigers. Tigers, a tough night in Aberdeen. The Golden Eagles win 30-6. Had a half-hour lightning delay right at the beginning of the second half. And that's where Aberdeen pretty much took control. And coach, boy, again, a tale of two halves. First half, we controlled the ball but just couldn't score. We've seen that probably a little more than we'd like. A lot of possessions to the 30 or inside, unable to score. And, you know, the tone was set early. We had a couple of chances to get a lead, didn't, and then Aberdeen kind of got the game the way they wanted it by the second half.
Yep. I mean, they came out and they capitalized when they had the ball and they found ways to get into the end zone. You know, we were inside the 30 just like we wanted to be, and we just got to find ways to score. We got to go back and look at it and just kind of, you know, tighten up our ship a little bit. I know there's things that we do to ourselves that hurt us inside the 30, and, you know, if we want to be competitive and be a good team, we can't have those things. I think I was about 50-50 when I went back and watched it about running the ball, passing the ball in the red zone, and, you know, I think we had mental errors throughout that whole time, whether it was a run play and somebody blocking the wrong way or a pass play not running the right route or things like that, you know, where we just got to go back and look at ourselves in the mirror and just kind of take a look at it and figure out what we have and what we can do and, you know, just really tighten up our our control of things and just tighten up, whether it's staff or whatever we got to do with the kids, to be able to figure out what we have to do to be successful in those situations.
And, you know, the table was set there, as we said, but it just seemed like something would go wrong. We had a penalty at an unfortunate time fairly early in the game. You're kind of smiling at that one. And, you know, and give Aberdeen credit. You know, they kind of stayed with the course. The first half, they didn't get a lot accomplished offensively except for two plays, but that was the difference between them and us. Their two plays set up or scored touchdowns. We couldn't come up with that play.
Yep, I mean, we were in the situation, you know, to put up points just like they did, and we just didn't get it done. You know, that early hold call, unfortunately, you know, you're going to get those kind of things when we're scrambling around in the pocket instead of just sitting in there taking your read and throwing it. But we just got to be better at what we do, and we can't hurt ourselves like that. We put ourselves in the situation to score points, and our defense gave us good field position, and we just got to find ways to capitalize that.
You know, some good individual performances. Cashin Caudill had 100 yards rushing. I think I had him 17 carries, 116 yards. And I know when you're looking at the stats last week, oh, we just missed it. I think he had 95 last week against Sturgis. He had two really out of that 116. About half of it came on two runs. I think there was a 32 and a 36-yard. But again, that is starting to open up, and it seems like it's more in between the tackles than trying to get the edge.
Yep. I mean, we ran a lot. Just more of an RPO look where, you know, we're kind of riding that, and then we have the option to throw off of it off to the side. But, you know, it's just been, you know, going well with our short game stuff of being able to complete those short passes to our wide receivers just to get those kind of guys off us a little bit. You know, I thought our line at times last night, they came out, looked really good, and we got a good push and had walls set up for Cash to run behind, which is amazing. But, you know, it just comes back to inside that 30 thing, you know, even last year and continuously now when I watch film. I mean, it's just ourselves that hurt ourselves when we get inside the 30 of a mistake here or there that puts us backwards, and then a drop pass, and all of a sudden we're sitting here 3rd and 10 instead of, you know, 3rd and 2 marching still on the field. So, you know, we'll just go back, we'll look at it. You know, those guys did a fantastic job of moving the ball, and it's really cool that Cashin gets over 100 yards.
You know, and I thought in the second half, Aberdeen's depth really started to show. And I know you had said they don't have a lot of guys that go both ways. And I started to notice that as the game went on because I wasn't seeing the same names on defense as I was on offense. And, you know, and I thought our kids did wear down a little bit, and give Aberdeen credit. They just kept coming right at us. That the fullback, Erickson in particular, he just seemed to be a load. And then Ligon, the tailback who had the long run in the first half, boy, he wasn't afraid to get the tough yards inside.
Yep. I mean, I think coming out, you know, that second half and still being 10-0, and, you know, I thought we were still in the game there, and then all of a sudden we had another opportunity to score, and we, you know, we missed that on that open pass. But, you know, and then defense comes out, you know, I thought too at times, you know, we kind of just, you know, threw the towel in. But, you know, it's going to be difficult, and it's difficult for our kids, you know, to continue to grind that way when our offense can't finish. So we just got to find ways to finish. And, yeah, Aberdeen has a lot of depth in there, and they did a good job of, you know, keeping their guys fresh and just kept grinding and sticking to their game plan all night.
Now, we did have the lightning delay. We were lined up to kick off the second half, and to my knowledge, that was the only lightning strike we had, and it was legitimate. Nobody was tiptoeing around it. It was a legitimate lightning strike. It was a pretty loud clap of thunder that took us in the locker room and delayed us for 30 minutes. But you know, it rained pretty much the entire second half. In my eyes, you always should have one game a year where you have to do that, but you don't want to bring the lightning. But again, you know, it ends up being almost an hour from the end of the first half to the start of the second half, and you know that can be hard. You know, that can be hard to acclimate your body, because then all of a sudden you have like 3 minutes to get out there and get warmed up, and then you're kicking off.
Yep. I mean, you know, it's definitely been crazy situations where, you know, where that delay happens, and you just got to figure out how to lock it in and, you know, zone back in. And that just goes back to holding, you know, ourselves accountable. And, you know, I think a couple of our guys, you know, we kind of got off task with that, just, you know, more amazed about their homecoming and what they were doing, and we got out focused. And you know, we just got to continue to progress to get better. You know, it's kind of weird because, you know, every time when this rain delay stuff happens now, we just kind of go back to the Sturgis game where we sat there for about 2 hours before we actually started playing last year. So, you know, I think the kids were excited for it. You know, we just couldn't get our things to work, and Aberdeen did a fantastic job of sticking with their game plan and just pounding the ball and controlling the clock.
So now we are sitting here at 2-3. We have another road game next week. While I haven't looked it up, I assume it'll be Douglas's homecoming, because to me, if you had a home game this week or next week, you're probably having homecoming on that game. Douglas has one win on the season. They went over to Brookings. It was Brookings homecoming. Brookings took care of business. Had their best game of the year, defeated Douglas 31-7. But we don't overlook anybody right now.
Nope. I mean, right now, and to be honest with you, I think, you know, we just got to come in and look at ourselves and figure out what we got to do to continue to get better. You know, this week I think was a poor execution week, you know, whether it was on my part play calling or players-wise on, you know, just fulfilling the assignment that they were supposed to do on whatever play call was called. And, you know, so I think this week is going to be a good hard look at ourselves and, you know, kind of rotate some guys in and try to find the things and people that are going to do the assignment football. I know last year we talked a lot about assignment football, and I think we just got to get back on track for that.
And finally, we just need to also have 48 minutes.
Yep. I mean, we got to continue to play for 48 minutes. You know, I know it gets really tough on some of these kids, especially going both ways, but, you know, you live for football. There's nothing better than being out there, you know, especially when, you know, it counts and it means something. And, you know, I think a lot of these guys feel the same way as that. You know, it's just tough at times for those guys to fulfill that and keep that mindset, you know, even depending on whatever the situation is in the game.
Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers fall to 2-3 on the season after a 30-6 loss to Aberdeen. Off to Douglas next Friday to play the Patriots. One last break. Minnesota Twins division champions. That's next on Dakota Sports.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.